We come now to another reading in our service. This one is from the Gospel of John. Gospel means good news. It's the good news according to one of Jesus' disciples called John. We're in chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through to 21. You can find the reading on page 1080. So John chapter 10, starting at verse 1, and this is Jesus speaking. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I come that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, he does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have all the sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father.' There was again division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, 'He has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him?' Others said, 'These are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?'" Well, what does it mean to live a full life? Life to the full, to be fulfilled. There are lots of places that we might look for an answer. Ancient philosophers, religions, maybe family traditions and ancestry. I think a lot of our current society, though, our popular culture, if you will, is quite happy to take a bit more of a surface look at things. I don't think we delve too deep in things. Our current society, popular culture, dictates a lot of what people's thinking about life is. Many don't have time to take a deep dive into the philosophers, do they? We find it easier to really just absorb the culture that we swim in. We can get on board with a lot of what we hear in podcasts, can't we? We might take or leave some bits, but you know, what we see on Netflix, well, you know, there's some good and interesting stuff there. Now, generally, our broad culture, it seems to express things well enough for most people. And sometimes it can get really poignant and really profound, can't it? I've watched a bit of Ricky Gervais's show, Afterlife, on Netflix. It's very funny. It's also extremely rude. But it's surprisingly emotional and quite touching as well. It's all about a chap called Tony. And Tony's wife has died, and she's left him a series of videos telling him, you know, giving him messages, telling him to saying goodbye. And Tony begins the series in mourning. He doesn't care what people think. He's rude, selfish, and mean. But throughout the seasons, you see a transformation take place in this show. And slowly he discovers what it means to live a fulfilling life in a world where hardship and suffering take place. It's a show that's really, it's laced with Ricky Gervais's philosophy of life. And he concludes with this quote. You probably won't be able to read it on the screen here, but I'll read it for you. He says, "Life is precious because you can't watch it again. I mean, you can believe in an afterlife if that makes you feel better. Doesn't mean it's true. But once you realize you're not going to be around forever, I think that's what makes life so magical. One day, you'll eat your last meal, smell your last flower, hug your friend for the last time. So that's why you should do everything you love with passion, you know? Treasure the few years you've got, because that's all there is." Contained within this quote, within the show, and indeed our popular culture, our society broadly, is this whole glimpse into what we might consider a full life. Freedom, living in the moment, authenticity. We're going to consider these things, and we'll look then at what our culture would say an empty life looks like. And ultimately, what Jesus, who promises not just a full life, but abundant life, might have to say on these matters. So let's start with freedom. It's something that each one of us values in one form or another, and it's highly praised in our cultural climate. It's partly why it's so heartbreaking, isn't it, to see what's happening in Ukraine at the moment. No freedom, no freedom over their future, no freedom to leave, no freedom to join family in other countries. It's devastating and heartbreaking. Our love of freedom is why the pandemic was so tough on so many. It's the relinquishing of freedom. Many willingly gone without freedom to protect loved ones. Many felt that longing to return to hugging friends, seeing family, traveling freely. It's been a really tough year, couple of years in terms of freedom. Freedom's well-loved, highly praised. We live without restriction, do as we please, not have masters or owners, but be our own people. That's what our society sees as freedom, the ultimate expression of self. It's not a particularly new idea. You look back at ancient philosophers. Epictetus lived in the 2nd century, and he was born into slavery. When talking about what freedom is, he said, "Is freedom anything else than the right to live as we wish? Nothing else." We are, to quote our prime minister, a freedom-loving people. That's what our society says freedom is. We might think about living in the moment. It's a big part of Ricky Gervais's, or at least Tony's, philosophy from Afterlife. Live in the moment. You're not going to get to live it again. Smell the roses, hug the friends, enjoy yourself. The movie is now. There is no sequel. It's an attitude that's increasingly embraced in our society, in particular by those on the younger end of things. I read an article recently about declining birth rates. And this journalist says recent reports that half of women in England and Wales are now childless by their 30th birthday. It reveals a worrying new attitude in Gen Z. Parenthood to the younger generations is the enemy of unfettered frivolity. Young women, we are told, would rather live for the moment than plan for the future. Being present has become the mantra of the mindful generation, who see autonomy, freedom, as the ultimate expression of a life well lived. A free life, according to our society, is one where we live in the moment. Being present is the mantra of the mindful generation. To live a full life, our society says, is living in the moment. To live a free life is to live in the moment. It's what our society says is essential. Authenticity, then. Embrace freedom, embrace living in the moment, and you can begin living authentically. And living authentically is so important in our culture and age, isn't it? Be yourself, be true to yourself. The postmodern philosophers, the existentialists, they all knew the value of this and they pushed hard for it. Above all, in order to be, never try to seem, said Albert Camus. If you want to live authentically, don't try to be anyone else. Just be you. The privilege of a lifetime is to become who you truly are, said Carl Jung. The very best thing for you. Freedom, living in the moment, authenticity. They're highly prized values that our culture says, this is what you need to live a fulfilled life. Accept this and live it out. Now, maybe you're not quite on board with the existentialists or the ancient Stoic philosophers. Perhaps a deep dive from on Tony from Afterlife is maybe a bit much. But I think in some form or another, whether we realize it or not, our society, it preaches these things at all levels to us. And it turns up in the strangest of places. Maybe don't ask me how, but Mandy Hale, writing in The Single Woman, Life, Love, and a Dash of Sass, says, you'll learn as you get older that rules are made to be broken. Be bold enough to live life on your own terms. Never apologize for it. Go against the grain. Refuse to conform. Take the road less traveled instead of the well-beaten path. Laugh in the face of adversity and leap before you look. Dance as though everybody is watching. March to the beat of your own drum and stubbornly refuse to fit in. Mandy Hale in The Single Woman, Life, Love, and a Dash of Sass. These values are everywhere, aren't they? Whether we like it or not. And it's what our world says, is to live a full life. If we take these things as what it means to live a full life, then what does it mean to live an empty life according to our society? Well, the first one would be rules, isn't it? It's the opposite of being free. Living confined, having rules, being confined. If we just even pause for a second and think, what does us being a freedom-loving people mean? Well, it means that we follow all sorts of rules to have a functioning free society. We love freedom, but not the freedom to kill or steal without consequence. A functioning society is where we abide by all sorts of rules and constraints, where we are willingly confined in order to live freely. A functioning society abides by these rules. We willingly impose consequences on our actions. We commit to not cheating on our spouse. Where in one sense we might be free to do so, the marriage services would promise to forsake all others. And within the confines of the promises of marriage, there's freedom to be married and to live a married life. What about the opposite, then, of living in the moment? Well, surely it would be worry. For all our talk about living in the moment, we're very good about worrying about the future, aren't we? In fact, I'm betting that there's been at least some correlation of how much we get encouraged to live in the moment to just how dramatic the rise of anxiety has been throughout every area of our society. Martin Heidegger said, we should never allow our fears or the expectations of others to set the frontiers of our destiny. But fear and anxiety have basically never been more rampant in our society. Simply living in the moment isn't a sustainable way to look to the future. It's not a sustainable way to live that deals properly with the complexities of this life. The opposite of authenticity. Well, an empty life would be living a lie. Certainly, living a lie would be a clear example of straying from the fullness of authenticity. It would be a living fake, living this lie. Of course, authenticity is only considered an admirable part of living a full life if we're expressing acceptable authenticity. Imagine if we were authentic to the point where we said the first thing that came through our mind. and there was just no filter from brain to mouth, how long do you think your job would last? How long would your friends stick around? Tony from Afterlife thought that he was being authentic by not caring about what people thought about him, and he became unlikable. He repelled people. We all know what it's like to wear a mask physically, don't we? It's pretty fair to say that each of us, though, no matter how authentically we try to live, we're quite good at wearing a mask metaphorically as well. The chances are we try not to be rude or mean or to say the first thing that comes in our heads. We hold our tongue in order that people like us. So the truth is that by our own standards, our own society's kind of principles of a full and authentic life, well, we don't quite manage to live up to them, do we? In fact, if we spend more time on this, we probably discover that there's a lot more emptiness and our lives are a lot less fulfilled than we'd like to imagine if we take society's standards for a full life. It may surprise us then that Jesus has something to say on these matters. John chapter 10, that reading that we had, if we go to verse 10, we might translate Jesus saying as that he came to give abundant life. Let's look not just at what a full life is, but what an abundant life is according to Jesus and how we might have it. Let's start with freedom. Some might say that following Jesus doesn't sound very free. Isn't Christianity just a whole heap of rules? Well, Jesus said in our reading in 10 verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. It's imagery of shepherding and sheep there, but abundant life, going in and out of the door. These are the promises that come as Jesus is using a metaphor about sheep, and he calls himself the door. His people are the sheep. So his people go through the door of Jesus, and they get protection, safety, and pasture, freedom. The ancient world was a pretty dangerous place to be a sheep. There were thieves. In Jesus' metaphor, they're the people leading God's sheep astray. There were wolves. Wolf is a metaphor, I think, symbolizing judgment for sin, the Bible's word for not following God. Each one of us does go our own way rather than God's way. If God's way is loving him and loving our neighbor, our way is saying no to that, and actually I would prefer to be the center of my life. I'll love as long as it's convenient, thank you. And so the wolf is the reason that we need a door. That's Jesus, and we enter through him. We're brought into safety and freedom. Now, there's not much worse than offering a captive a false hope of freedom. I was in Pentonville Prison recently talking to a prisoner who was saying that because of COVID and the overcrowding of prison systems, the whole system for processing sentencing had slowed right down. He's actually been waiting to hear how long he's going to be in prison for, longer than he thinks he'll actually end up being in prison for. He's been waiting all that time. Every time there's been a new sentencing date come, it's been pushed back again and again. False hopes of freedom, and it's been devastating for him. Jesus is the door. He is a true hope of eternal freedom and safety. Where people who believe in him can have complete, free, and true freedom. We get there by believing that Jesus' death on the cross is a sacrifice for our sin, those wrongdoings that we do. He takes our sinful record, and we get his perfect, sinless record instead. And so God's people live following Jesus. That's literally what a Christian is, a follower of Christ. And so we don't simply then live however we like, thinking that we've got a eternity sorted, therefore I'll do whatever I want, I'll become like Tony from Afterlife. No. Oh, we follow Jesus. This isn't a curbing of freedom, though. It's not a relinquishing of freedom. It's living how God designed us to live. Like how we follow a rule in society to make us more free in a way. So following God actually makes us more free if we live in light of eternal freedom. Well, Jesus also offers hope for the future, doesn't he? Our culture's claim to live in the moment doesn't really help us when it comes to the future. And certainly not when it comes to our eternal future. Every single one of us will die one day. It's that ultimate statistic. And the Christian hope is that death on this earth is just the beginning. When Jesus says in John 10:10 that he's come to give abundant life, he isn't encouraging us to march to the beat of our own drum or dance like everyone is watching. He's not telling us to live, laugh, and love in the moment. In verse 11, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He's telling us, actually, to have his life that was sacrificed for us, a shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. He gave his own life so that we might have eternal life. Proving this, he rose from the dead, resurrected into new life. And that same life is available to all who believe in him. That God loved the world in this way. He gave his son. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It's genuine hope beyond this life. It's genuine hope for the future. All we need to do is trust that the Lord Jesus' death is sufficient for us. He says in John chapter 3 that whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's the hope for the future, one free from all condemnation, eternity with God. It changes how we live now. We can now live with greater authenticity. The Bible shows us that living in rebellion against God, so living in what the Bible calls sin, living our own way and not God's way, is the ultimate inauthentic existence, we might say. The ultimate inauthentic existence. So the Apostle Paul, one of Jesus' followers, describes the human race in Romans 1:18 as suppressing the truth of God by our wickedness. And in fact, Jesus says something similar in John 3:19. This is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. And he goes on to say that everyone who does wicked things hates the light because he does not come to the light. Thus his works should be exposed. So rejecting Jesus, living in darkness, hiding from light, rejecting Jesus is the ultimate, according to the Bible, inauthentic existence. It's choosing a lie rather than truth. It's choosing darkness rather than light. How does this help us to live authentically now? Well, if we see that we have gone wrong, we've gone our own way and not God's way, if we see that the Bible says that we're completely sinful, well, we really do need a God to save us, don't we? It's, in a way, the ultimate removal of that metaphorical mask. God has already seen all of us. He's seen the depths of how wrong we've gone. And he offers light. He is light, and he knows all our darkness, every thought, word, and deed. Before God, we have the freedom to admit who we truly are. We don't have to pretend that we're sorted. He sees behind those metaphorical masks. King David, you might know him from the account of David and Goliath. He wrote that poetic account in Psalm 42, and it's surely one of the most authentic, deeply soul-searching things ever written. He speaks of his tears being his only food, his soul being downcast. He feels distant from God. He feels abandoned from God, yet he doesn't try to hide it. He knows that instead he can come to God and tell him. He can tell him how he truly is doing in the very deepest parts of his soul. So living a full life, life to the full. Our culture holds freedom, living in the moment, and authenticity as three really important aspects of a fulfilled life. The issue is the commitment to freedom is only as long as it's acceptable freedom. Simply living in the moment isn't good enough to deal with the future. Authenticity is only okay as long as it's acceptable authenticity that our society will tolerate. Jesus, however, provides true freedom. Freedom from sin, eternal freedom. He provides a sure and certain hope for the future. While we may sometimes still find ourselves anxious, this isn't something that we necessarily need to hide or put a metaphorical mask on, because we can live authentically, because we worship a God who knows absolutely everything about us. We no longer have to suppress truth, no longer have to hide in darkness, but can instead have the light of his love. So wherever you're coming from this morning, whether you're looking back at life and wondering if you should have got more out of it, or perhaps looking forward and wondering how will I live this life authentically and to the full. Maybe your social media is full of motivation to be more free, live in the moment more, be more authentic. Wherever we are this morning, we can come to the Lord Jesus. He gives true hope, true freedom, and helps us to live in light of that hope and freedom authentically now.